Hello and welcome to a TMCNet podcast. My name is Rich Trani. I'm president of TMC and the group editor-in-chief here at TMC and TMCNet. And I am really excited to once again have Chris Lyman, who is the founder and CEO of Fonality, on today's podcast. Chris, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Rich. How's it going?
Oh, things are fantastic, and I'm really excited, and I know that you've got some big announcements coming up, and I can't wait to hear more about what's happening. So tell me, what's on the plate for today?
So we've got version 2.0 of TrixBox Pro launching next week on the 15th. If you recall, we did a podcast last August when we launched 1.0, and version 2.0 comes out next week, and it is it's called the Look Mom No Hands Reseller version. And
that's great.
What we've done with this release is it's called Look Mom No Hands because we're more and more trying to make it so resellers have to travel on site less and touch the system less when they're provisioning it, making the hardware plug and play, etc.
That's fantastic. Have you had any opportunity to do any beta testing on this yet, or is it just it's just coming out now?
No, we've been running a beta for the last, 2 or 3 weeks with a select group of opt-in resellers. Feedback's been really good. First, we moved it through alpha. Now it's been in beta. The beta cycle is just ending, and we're about to go GA on Monday of next week.
So what does this release tell us about your channel strategy?
It tells us that channels are future, Rich. Fonality grew initially very aggressively as a direct company. And each time we tried to launch a reseller program in 05, it didn't grow very well. And so we sat back in 06 and said, why isn't our channel growing the way we want it to? And we realized that fundamentally we weren't giving resellers enough margin, and we weren't catering our product to them enough. We were trying to control the hardware, et cetera. So TrixBox is a software-only product that gives 50% margin to resellers and lets them use any hardware they want on the system. So how important is it? Resellers are our future.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so the current resellers that you have now, what are some of the things they're telling you?
Well, first they said thank you. His margins went from 26 to 50% at that point for them. And, you know, resellers sort of live and die by the margin. But what else are they telling us? They're telling us that they wanted lots more hardware support and European or international telecom support. So TrixBox Pro has always worked great, as has TV Extra in the U.S. But in this release, we've had to build some really strong foreign support, like E1, which is the European version of the T1. So there's E1 auto detection and support. So you pop an E1 card into the TrixBox Pro box, it goes chug, chug, whirl, pop, detects it, takes you to a screen, and lets you start configuring it. BRI is another big standard. It's sort of the European ISDN, if you will. So this is auto detection configuration of BRI cards.
And you have partners for those cards?
We do. So we partner right now. Well, we detect multiple vendors' cards, but we're the most closely integrated with our premier partner, which is Sangoma. So Sangoma BRI cards, Sangoma E1 and T1 cards, etc. So I think there's a lot of noise in this space about card support, but we actually do auto detection of these cards. Literally, you plug it into the box, it scans the PCI bus, detects it, starts running some signals out across the card to detect what kind of signaling, and takes you into a window, and we do our best known analysis of how you can start making calls right out of the box without typing any keys.
Wow, that's fantastic. So let's say that a business has TrixBox. What do they have to do to upgrade to the latest version?
Well, that's the neat thing about Fonality's hybrid hosted system. The answer is nothing. The answer is they're going to wake up one morning and have the new software. Because our data center controls the application layer, and really all the server side is sort of just kind of almost a dumb SIP stack doing the call processing, the data center gets the new code, and like any good sort of centralized software model, you just get it when you wake up, almost like a new version of Salesforce or of Gmail.
That's great. Now, you talk about hands-free provisioning. Is that very different from what I've heard before, auto-provisioning?
You know, it's not supposed to be, but there's so much abusive features in this space that we finally had to come out with a new term. So what auto phone provisioning is supposed to be is you plug your phone into your phone system, into your PBX, and you don't touch any keys, and it provisions itself. That's what we have. But there's about 7 different vendors claiming to have this, and we tested most of their products, and actually you have to go to every single phone and start typing on the keypad, including some of the vendors that make the very phones and make systems that attach to them. And I won't give any names, but so ours is truly keyless. In other words, you take 100, you know, Astra, you know, 9133s or 40 ICTs under your arm, you walk into your network, you put one on every desk, you plug it into the Ethernet port, and walk away.
Wow.
The system sniffs the LAN using 3 different detection methods. We're filing for some patents on this stuff. Sniffs the network for 3 different detection methods, smells the unprovisioned phone, puts the right version of software on it, puts the right extension number on it, and then reboots the phone for you.
Wow, that's fantastic. And do you have technology to get through NAT and firewalls for branch offices, or is there something that needs to be done in those cases?
If it's a branch office, it just depends. If it's a branch office connected to its own Trixbox Pro, it's fine. If it's telecommuting straight over the public internet, we obviously can't sniff that. We can't sniff across the internet into your branch office. But of course, if it's coming across a VPN, we will be able to detect it. So it just depends how public or private you're going. If you take the phone home and plug it in home, no, we're not going to know that you plugged something in.
So in that case, you just have to put like a SIP URI or something.
In that case, yeah, you have to, I'm trying to remember. I think in that case you have to enter, I think you have to press a couple of keys and enter the IP address of your remote server, and then it'll do all the work for you.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I don't think it's a big deal.
So you talk about Europe, and Europe is a big growth area for a lot of the companies I speak with. Are there other parts of the world that you're going to focus on as well, or is Europe such a big place and you can spend a lot of time there?
Well, we're actually getting a lot of traction in Australia. We made an acquisition in Australia a year ago or so, and we're starting to get some great traction there. You know, a funny place we're getting amazing traction is New Zealand. Unrelated to Australia, we've signed really strong resellers in New Zealand. We've got some good folks in Canada. We've got some good folks in England. I guess it's safe to say we're doing the best in the English-speaking countries.
Interesting. Okay, I wonder why. The other parts of the world wouldn't be adopting open source as quickly. Do you have any guesses as to why they might not?
I actually think it's our fault. I think our HUD software has not yet gone multilingual.
Okay.
That's
logical.
And that's a user client we're having trouble penetrating. But
sure.
That should be out in Q2, and then we should start to get some better adoption in some non-English speaking countries.
And just give us a 30 or 60 second on the HUD software, so those who don't know what that is understand it.
Okay, so we've got this award-winning software called HUD, stands for Heads-Up Display, and it's sort of a all-in-one employee contact management software. No, it's not. How would I describe it? Well, it's called HUD. It does everything, Rich. It's a piece of software that lets all employees in the company stay in touch with each other via one interface that runs on their Windows or their Mac computer. So they can chat, they can email each other, they can call each other's mobiles, they can bring up, you know, Salesforce.com pages when the phone rings, they can log themselves in and out of queues, drag and drop calls with the mouse, click on phone numbers to dial them from websites. All this sort of real-time interaction, people get on and off the phone, you can see that, hey, your office worker is on the phone, so I shouldn't chat them and say, let's go to lunch right now. Basically, it just ties employees both inside the office and remote together into one interface, almost like a little chat interface. It's pretty cool.
So would you say it's kind of like a unified communications platform?
Yes, but it's been around longer than that term. I would say it's a combination between unified communications and presence management. So not only do you have everybody unified in terms of how they can communicate, but you can also see the status of what they're doing at the time. So you've got some presence management and detection in there as well.
That's fantastic. Okay, that's great. So I know you've got a bunch of new features in Trixbox. You unveiled some of them in the you know, the latest PD Extra version that came out recently. Would you mind just letting me know, like, what are some of the best features that you now have on the system?
Yeah, you know, I've pretty much been talking about the under-the-hood stuff for resellers, but there is actually some sexy stuff that their customers will like, which will help their sales. So,
Chris, I do this all day, and very rarely in telecom does anyone get to use the word sexy, so we'll emphasize that. Spend some time on that, because in my conference calls, we normally, in podcasts, we don't get a lot of that. So take your time.
Well, so sexy is a feature that an IT director who's considering buying a product from a reseller is going to say, oh, wow, and he's going to kind of get his geekness on and say, I got to buy this product. Because so it's that kind of sexy. It's sexy like a sexy car. It's a California sexy, if you know what I'm saying.
But Northern Cal, not Southern.
That's right. Exactly. All right. So let's use the word cool. Is that a better word, a cool feature?
Cool. That's a sexy word for me, too. You know, that's you know, from a marketing standpoint, sexy is supposed to work. So tell me, what are these sexy features?
All right. So we've got a feature in there called Find Me with Boomerang Mobile Integration. I know that's a mouthful, so I'll say it again.
Well, does that have something to do with why you're so successful in Australia, the whole boomerang thing, or is there no connection?
Absolutely no connection, but touche.
And I didn't mean to throw you off, so please continue.
No, you didn't. That's actually funny. Maybe I was influenced by going there and driving my Harley on the wrong side of the road. Or drives the wrong way. I don't know. So Find Me with Boomerang Mobile Integration. Basically, is a very advanced Find Me, Follow Me system that integrates with your cell phone. Let me explain. Let's say you're using Trixbox Pro and you have an extension 700. You can go in and build this little call path of what happens when 700 rings. First, try me at my desk, then try me home, then try me at my mom's house, and finally try me on my cell phone. But once it hits your cell phone, the Trixbox Pro system stays on the line and allows you to do certain advanced functions. So, for example, you're on your cell phone. You can hit *1 and record that call. Okay, and this is awesome for salespeople who might be in their car traveling to and from a customer site. The call hits them in their car. They need to record at the close of contract, let's say insurance industry or various verticals that need recording. You just hit *1 and record it. The other thing it lets you do, and here's where the word boomerang comes into it, Rich, is you can hit pound and shoot that call back to the Trixbox Pro system, back to your extension or somebody else's.
So you hit pound, and then what do you do after that?
You hit pound, it asks you for an extension number, and you type the extension number either at that office or at any branch office, and you can basically boomerang that call back.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And
but I forgot one.
Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry. No, I was going to say there's one more really cool feature that sort of integrates with HUD that you were asking about. So we built this Find Me system, okay, and then we built Boomerang, and we thought, okay, this is pretty cool. It follows my rules. Certain time of the day, it calls my cell phone. Other times of the day, it calls my desk. But then we realized that it actually wasn't that smart. In other words, sometime during the day when I said during my schedule that I was going to be at my desk, I'm not. Sometimes I said I was going to be home, and I'm not. So we built a feature into it called presence detection. The way this works is HUD, the software I was telling you about earlier that runs at your desktop, does keyboard and mouse monitoring. So basically HUD knows when you're sitting at your desk moving your keyboard and mouse. And you can allow the Find Me rules to be based on your presence at your keyboard.
Wow.
So, for example, you're sitting at your desk, typing away, talking on the phone, whatever, you're moving your mouse and keyboard in the last 5 minutes, calls coming to your extension will ring your extension because the system knows you're there. Get up and go into the kitchen and microwave some popcorn, stop moving your mouse and keyboard, the next call comes in, hits your desk, notices you haven't moved your mouse or keyboard, boom, goes to your Find Me rules, and you got that call on your cell phone.
Wow.
Then get back to your desk with the popcorn in your mouth and say, hang on a second, hit the pound key, and boomerang it right back to your desk, and you're a happy man.
So that's an interesting point that you just made. So as long as the call was sent from initially came from from your phone system, from Trixbox Pro, and then gets sent out to the cell phone, then it's always monitoring that call with the ability to take control of it again.
That's right, and it's actually the way pretty much all systems work if you think about it. When a call gets forwarded from a switch, Rich, you're using two lines, right? The call that came into the switch and then forwarding back out to the other number. So we sort of scratched our heads and said, wait a minute, if we're already using a line, why don't we just listen for DTMF ketones and be able to do some call control remotely?
So pound is the magic key. You hit the pound and now you have some options, right? Or one is to record.
So *1 records and pound initiates a transfer, and then you can sort of type your extension, yeah.
Well, it's fantastic.
But it works really well, Rich. I mean, literally, sometimes too well. I mean, you go to the bathroom and the next call comes to your hip. That's the way I do.
So tell me about phone call.
Phone call. F-O-N call. Yeah, phone call is a really cool, really slick plugin for Firefox browser, the Firefox browser, that turns any link on any phone number on a website into a clickable phone number link.
Interesting. Okay. And that's currently Firefox. Are you any thoughts about other browser support? Or
we might put it in an IE. It was a bear to write this in Firefox, and so we're a little bit reticent to do it. I'll say that it's not just a clickable link. A number of folks have that. We call this one-click connect. So in other words, when you see the link, you click it once, the call comes straight into your desk, takes your phone off hook, and you're talking to the person. There is no there's complete hands-free experience with your phone. So for somebody who's in like an agent in a call center doing a lot of outbound calls, they're just going click, 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 click down the page. It's very, very efficient.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's interesting. So if you're, like, for a salesperson, will be a great example, right? You do a search on a whole bunch of companies, and you're just able to click through and call them.
One click, yeah. So click, ring, off hook. Click, ring, off hook. It's a really seamless experience.
Okay, fantastic. So in terms of your company, I'm curious, how have you been doing lately, and what's going on in the world of voice over IP phone systems for business?
You know, we've been doing great. I was preparing some numbers for the board recently. We've been around now for, we've been in sales for 15 quarters.
Wow.
And 14 of them have been growth quarters. We've only ever had one quarter over the last that didn't grow. And Q1 of this year was no different. It was a growth quarter over Q4. So we're doing great. We're up to about 130 folks, darn near break even, and rocking and rolling.
That's great. So in terms of growth, I mean, I think many of us will agree that the low-hanging fruit of the VoIP space has been tapped in, that the early adopters, many of them already have IPPBXs, and now we're going to the secondary group of people, the business owners and the resellers that are not 100% sure that they want to make the leap. Are there any things that you could tell that group of people in terms of why they should be making the leap to IP?
I would say the same thing I said in 2004, which is be careful, jump very carefully into a 100% VoIP system. So get an IPPBX that, while gives you VoIP capability, still, you know, try to retain some access to the PSTN. It is still a superior network. I really caution businesses, unless they have, you know, a world-class network, get that IPPBX, but keep a fallback line to the old switch network. But once you've got that IPPBX, it just saves you tons of money. You can send employees home. You know, stop taking up cubicle space for people. You can have your salespeople work from home. I mean, from the road, soft phones, cell phones in their cars. It's a really efficient modernizing of the communication system, and it will impact the business positively.
Well, that's great. That's great advice. You don't always hear that, people saying that you should have a fallback. So that's kind of it's good to hear that you say that. And, you know, always better safe than sorry. I know in some cases there are even small companies that I'm aware of that will have multiple ISPs as well. Maybe they have a cable line come in and a DSL line.
That's another way to do it. You could segment your WAN and have two connections. Just move carefully before you just say, you know, Whoopi Vonage is going to take over all my business calls, and there's never going to be a quality problem.
No, I agree 100%. Better safe than sorry. And there's more and more technology out there, equipment, that will allow you to easily have your calls transfer from one ISP to another in case of quality issues or just even a line getting cut. So I've been dying to ask you about this since a few months ago. We talked about your relationship with Dell. What's happening with the Dell relationship, and what are we going to see coming from your company in the next few months and years?
So I'd say it's going really well. We're just exiting what Dell called the pre-launch phase. So we're only just getting on their site last week, and we're only just getting in their catalog. We've been doing a lot of groundwork with them in terms of getting their, you know, their thousands of salespeople trained at the street level. And it's going great. You know, Dell's drips are our torrents. So the little bit of sort of just learning our product that they've done has become a significant double-digit percentage of our sales in a few months.
Oh, that's great.
In terms of volume, the real tsunami is going to come when they get it formalized on their site and formalized in their catalog. And what we've been doing with Dell, frankly, is working out all the back office pieces. There's so much back office communication that has to happen between their finance system and ours, and their fulfillment system and procurement, and on and on. And we're just getting all that ironed out, and sales are flowing nicely.
That's great. So are those EDI links and migrating slowly to XML? Is that how that works with the with large companies that are working with others that are trying to
produce things? They're EDI based, and actually we are too. So we're just sort of linking that up through some middleware here to connect the two systems. I think actually the Dell deal might end up playing nicely for our reseller channel, because Dell has reached out to us recently and said, "Hey, we know your stuff is really easy to use, but we need installers on the bigger deployments. Do you have an install team?" And as it turns out, we do. It's our reseller channel. And so we're going to start referring, and actually have started to refer deals in the NFL cities to our channel. And I think that's going to grow over time.
Well, that's great news for the resellers, right? So, I mean, they get to take advantage of your larger deals with big companies.
Yeah, and I want to say that this hasn't been formalized yet. It's been an informal conversation, but they've asked us for a proposal. So if it goes through, we might be able to turn a lot of business onto our channel.
Well, that would be great news for everybody all around. So are we going to see other big things like this coming from Finality?
We've got a few other motherships in the pipeline right now. You don't want to talk about them and give yourself bad luck. But
you also don't want to, you know, take away the thunder from other podcasts that we may have down the road.
Exactly. Well, they're not even closed, but we're very close on a couple of major national and international ones, and you'll get my first call as always, Rich.
Oh, much appreciated, and congratulations on all the good work and the interesting features and the Dell deal. I'm excited to see how this works out throughout 2008 and 2009. And you've been listening to a TMCNet podcast. We've had the pleasure of speaking with Chris Lyman, who's the founder and CEO of Finality. And with that, we're going to sign off. Chris, thanks and goodbye.
Thanks, everyone.